Dear Diary, I'm pretty sure my parents are on to me. I mean, I'm kind of noided out because my mom is almost like a super sleuth, and I don't think she found my panties. I mean, I'm pretty sure she didn't find my panties because she would have definitely said something about it, and the trash has been thrown out for weeks now. Now, maybe I'm even more abnormal than I thought. I'm giving up on trying to be friends with the people in my neighborhood and some of the girls at school. I'd rather be in the house playing with my little sister or reading my own library books. I also found my dad's secret stash of snacks. Okay, it wasn't really a secret. It's just that those snacks are a lot tastier than the fruit or the unsalted nuts that my mom allows us to have. And every now and then, my dad will share a granola bar with me, or he'll let me have one of his Twinkies. Truth be told, it's an easy sale to get my dad to share with me. And I mean, how could you say no to this face after I go and get your snacks for you? Every now and then when my dad is off at one of his business trips, I grab one or two of his snacks so that I can eat it, and it makes me feel like my dad is here with me. Okay, I'm lying. I just wanted the damn Twinkies, so I ate it. Anyway, it made me feel good. Everybody deserves a little happiness, right? I'm still enjoying art class, but after that whole blonde hair, blue eye thing, I'm playing it safe. I stick to drawing fruit in bowls and animals, and you best believe those animals don't have blue eyes. Miss La Liberté thinks I have great promise as an artist, and some of the grown-ups in the class are using charcoal to draw, and I tried it once, but it's hard not to make a mess of my portrait, so for now I'm going to stick to crayons and paint. My dad can make just about anything, and I mean it. I said I wanted an easel, and so by the time I came home from school one day, my dad made me an easel. And my mom sewed me a painter's robe and a beret made out of an old bedsheet. I bet I'm the only person anybody knows with a painter's outfit that has sunflowers on it. Since my art class is near San Francisco, after class, we went to my cousin Renee's. And I have the best time when I'm over there because Renee knows everybody on her block. And every time I've gone, it's either that every kid on the block is outside playing with her or they're inside her house. And since Renee is an only child, she has the entire downstairs set up as her playroom. Uncle Cecil is a merchant seaman, and so every time he comes home, he brings Renee a new toy. I mean, she has every single toy you can imagine. And if I ever ask my parents for a toy and they tell me no, it's no big deal because I just wait until we go over to Renee's because I know she's going to have it and she's going to let me play with it. Most of our family lives in Georgia, so Renee and Uncle Cecil and Aunt Everlene are really the only family that we get to see on a regular basis. On the way to Renee's house, my mom gives me the same old talking to. You know, don't let me catch you, blah, blah, blah. Don't make me have to find you and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know the drill. I get reminded of it every single time I go. And it's all because Renee's mouth is a little bit sassy. Okay, it's a lot sassy. But I know better than to try that stuff with my mom. Aunt Everlene and Uncle Cecil are kind of old, and so they let Renee get away with murder. But if I tried that with my mom, I would be murdered. By the time we got to Renee's house, there must have been a dozen kids outside, and Renee ran up to the car to welcome me, just like she always did. My mom told me, "Remember what I told you." And then she and my sister went in the house. "What did your mom tell you?" You know, there's really no nice way of telling Renee what my mom said, so I just shrugged my shoulders and said nothing. And since I go over to Renee's house on the regular, well, kind of, there were a couple people outside that I already knew. Renee said everybody was playing hide and go get it, so get ready. Okay. Where is it? Where is what? Whatever we're supposed to be getting. Renee just looked at me like I was some sort of alien. Girl, you never played hide and go get it? Just follow me and do what I do. Okay, that sounds easy. It sounds like it's kind of like follow the leader, I guess. I bet you I win. Dirk, who lives across the street, and a couple other guys started counting. Renee grabbed my hand, and we ran and hid on the side of the house by the garbage cans. Oh, I get it. It's like hide and seek. Shh. Oh, sorry. Damn it. Dirk and some boy with a jerry curl headed right towards us. You know, I bet they were watching us when they were supposed to be counting. I think somebody's cheating here. I knew it. We should have hid behind the station wagon. God. Wait, one damn minute. Dirk had his hands in his pants and was talking about I needed to give him some. Renee was lifting up her dress for that boy with that old mangy curl. Oh, hell no. That right there was the worst decision Dirk could have made for himself. Now, I may not be able to fight off Malcolm because he's three times my size, but Dirk is the same height as me, which meant he was going to catch these paws. And so with that, he had to take one for the team. After that, I'm not sure if anybody wanted to play with me or not, but that game was over. And on the way back into the house, Renee was telling me I should not tell anybody what we were playing. You know what? I'm getting really sick and tired of having to keep secrets for folks. And when we got back in the house, Aunt Everlene asked why we weren't playing outside with everybody else. I just looked at Renee. You're going to answer this one. I don't have not one more space in my soul to hoard another secret, and I mean that. Renee was so worried about me telling anybody what went on. While we were in her room, she was bribing me with her toys. I almost let her so that I could take some home, but that would have never worked. My mom would have made me give it back. I just really wanted to go home, period. Ever since I was a shorty, my mom and dad would always come in and say good night. But not tonight. My dad leaned over to give me a kiss, and it was almost instinctive. I cringed, and my body language read, "Stop! Get away from me!" And then that became the same body language I would give my dad every time he would try to hug me or kiss me. I couldn't help it. Maybe my body was having some sort of, I don't know, subconscious, involuntary reaction of sorts based on what took place with Malcolm. And then that stuff with Dirk, I don't know what that was. But why my dad? He's never done anything to me. I've always been his baby girl. Even when my little sister was born. After a few weeks of me cringing every time my dad would hug or kiss me, my mom surprised me and told me I didn't have to go to school today. Hey, I didn't care because most of the girls at school still weren't that nice to me, and Melissa was still kind of acting funny style a bit. My mom and dad and my sister and I, we went to San Francisco. We weren't going to Renee's house this time. Come to find out, my parents had me see this married couple. They were doctors. And if you're not able to read between the lines, one was a psychologist, the other a sociologist. Boy, talk about an ego crusher. I was a certified couch potato. But oddly enough, forget what you've seen on TV. They didn't even have a couch for me to lay on. How weird was that? Over a number of appointments, they would ask me things about my dad and what our relationship was like, and what do I do when he does this? What kind of questions are these? And then they would ask me about that doggone blonde-haired, blue-eyed portrait. I don't want to talk about that anymore. It was obvious my parents knew something was wrong. And I mean, my mom was like me on a hound to a fox. My parents probably should have gotten a refund from these doctors, because the doctors never asked me one thing about Malcolm. And even if they did, I probably wasn't going to say anything. I mean, hell, their life depended on it. And I had no intentions on causing anybody in my family to be murdered. You know what I learned about therapy? It only works if all parties are open and honest. And it's not like I didn't want to be honest, but if I opened up, that would mean murder for my family. And the other thing that kept me silent was me envisioning the truth coming out. My parents getting mad at the Randalls and losing the friendship? Heck, they might even fight. And why would I want my mom and dad to lose their friendships? Then they'd be friendless just like I was. And I guess it really meant that I was going to be the one that took one for the team. But at least there was going to be a light at the end of the tunnel pretty soon for me. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Unbelievable Tales of Avis LaRue. And thank you for sharing the podcast with your friends and family. I hope you will be able to join me again next week for another episode. And as the distribution continues to grow, you can catch this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, iTunes, SoundCloud, and iHeartRadio, just to name a few. Be sure to follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and TikTok. In the meantime, please subscribe to receive notifications of upcoming episodes, videos, and more. You'll find the subscription link in my bio. And until next week, stay safe, stay secure.